Nerds, you're listening to an episode on the Nerdcore podcast feed. If you're feeling generous, please consider pledging to a tier on our Patreon at patreon.com/thenerdcore. We have tiers as low as $1 per month. Thanks so much, and enjoy the episode!
Welcome back to the Nerdcore Podcast, the podcast that reviews movies and talks that nerd shit. As always, it is the Nerd Chicano here to host your show, along with our wonderful co-host, Young Yoda.
What's up, everybody?
Yep. Brad is being joined by the wind, of course.
Ain't nothing you can do about that.
Yeah, I just never heard it this hard before. Yeah, like, I don't know what's going on today that you're
Luis.
What's up with Luis? What's going on, man? Awesome. For familiar faces, much needed for today.
Shut up, wind.
Thank you, Luis.
Podcast here. You see? Oh, Jesus. Never mind. Stop checking the house.
Some people say, holy shit, man. Damn. Some people say that you should turn off your AC while you podcast. No one ever said anything about the window. Yeah. Hello. Yeah, happy Indigenous People's Day. Hello, everybody. Why does this sound like a cartoon? Brad, like, do you have, like, the door open in your room or something?
Nope. That's just the wind.
Holy shit, man.
This is normal.
Hey, that's a spirit.
My brother-in-law told me once that it doesn't get windy in Arizona, and I just laughed.
Yeah. Send him this podcast. But I guess in the spirit of spookiness, right?
Spooky.
We can go ahead and just
only thing spooky about this show, this episode.
Yeah. Brad's jigsaw confirmed. Brad, what do you have to say about that?
Nah, too bloody and gross, and I'm not putting keys and eyeballs and shit.
Oh no.
God. Oh, no. Not the hosses.
Oh, man. Well, Brad, it's okay. So what's up, everybody? Today we're here to continue on with our reviews of Horror Month as we look at some horror movies this month on the Nerdcore to celebrate, well, it's Halloween this month. It's one of our, you know, go-to months that we do themes, and today we're going back to the 80s at the turn of the year as we look at 1981's Possession, directed by Andrzej Żuławski. Let me just go ahead and get my spoiler thing ready here. I really don't want to mess around right now, man. Like, I really just want to get into it. Finally, the door to nowhere goes somewhere. Just happens to be Hades this month. Bro, this is rough. This is really rough right now. The wind is wild, but it's fine. As always, we are going to, let's go ahead and get this going. I'm so sorry, Brad. I haven't asked you. How are you doing today, bro? Did you get the day off?
No, I didn't get a day off.
Oh, man.
They took our Columbus Day away and gave us a second for Thanksgiving.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got the day off. Federal employee myself, so.
I mean, it's whatever.
Yeah.
At this point, I'm just glad for a day off. Not too bad. Worked with a different program that we're using, so that was kind of cool.
Found out some cool stuff that you have to stay silent about, but yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Just out there. today was a pretty good day off. Yeah, I watched this movie that we have to watch today, and then I watched a better movie called Possessor.
Did you just go through, like, your, like, Possession, Possessor? Were you just...
Well, no. Possessor, I had wanted to watch it last year when it came out. It's made by David Cronenberg's son. Huh. So I was like, oh, this is a movie that I've been putting out for a while now. And it's like sci-fi horror. And I was like, I really want to watch something better than what I just watched right now. So let me go ahead and just pop this one up. It was on Hulu. And I was like, all right, here we go. I hope that this is better. And it was better. 1,000 times better.
I mean, it's difficult. Like, I mean, this isn't the worst movie I've ever seen, but it definitely wasn't good.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and get into it, of course. If you all have not seen Possession, this is your chance to get out of here. If you're not, if you want spoil, if you don't care about spoilers, then you can go ahead and stay in here. Either way, how this goes, your one and only spoiler spoiler warning, and is in effect in a 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Wind? No, it doesn't go on command. Oh, Brad's muted. All right, no, I don't unmute Brad. Let me go ahead and read this from Wikipedia. Excuse me. No, I'm burping to the microphone. Possession is a 1981 psychological horror drama film written, directed by Andrzej Żuławski, written by Żuławski and Fredrik Tuten, and starring Isabel Ayani and Sam Neill. The plot obliquely follows the relationship between an international spy and his wife, who begins exhibiting increasingly disturbing behavior after asking him for a divorce. Possession, an international co-production between France and West Germany. At the time that this was made, Germany was still separated by the Berlin Wall, in case anybody wanted to know, was filmed in West Berlin in 1980. Żuławski's only English language film, it premiered at the 34th Cannes Film Festival, where Ayani won the Best Actress Award for her performance. The screenplay was written during the painful divorce of Żuławski with actress Małgorzata Brionik. The film was not a commercial success either in Europe or in the United States, where it was released with an edited version, but eventually acquired cult status. So cinematography by Bruno Newton. Music by Andrei Korzyński. Yeah, I'm not going to try. On a budget of $2.4 million, it made $1.1 million. Only in the U.S., though. And it sits at 2 hours and 4 minutes. Yeah. I just want to go ahead and... let me go ahead and just look here, Brad. Let me see what was playing that year at Cannes? I want to know what this woman beat. Oh, there's a movie called Mephisto, y'all. Yeah? Yeah, Brad? Yeah? There's a movie called Mephisto. Possession. Okay. I know nothing. I don't know a lot of any of these. Like, these are all movies I've never seen before. But I do recognize the Michael Mann film, Thief. I've heard really good things about Thief.
This thing won Best Actress at Cannes.
Uh-huh. At Cannes, Brad. At Cannes.
I've literally seen better movies get booed at.
All right. So I guess you're going to want me to go ahead and just start, right, Brad?
Yeah, you'll probably be kinder than me.
Not necessarily.
Maybe.
I think about this movie the same way that I think about Malignant. If I would have gotten what we were kind of feeling out during that third act, I think this movie would have been better. Cause like we get like the really so like the beginning is kind of ridiculous. Second act is kind of dull. Third act is kind of really interesting. And it's like, this movie juggles like three different tones, which I'm reading is like something that everybody noticed. They were like, he starts with like a drama. He goes into a thriller. And then he goes into a body horror film. And it's like, it's odd. But I can't say like it's the worst shit I've ever seen, because I start to go into conversations about like Suicide Squad, Venom, and like never once did this movie feel like it was trying to be anything else than what it was trying to be, because from the get-go, I think this movie wanted to be weird as shit. Weird as shit. But I can't say that I like this film. I can't say that at the moment I can give it praise for a lot of things other than this movie was made by a madman who knew damn well what he was wanting to do. And I think that's what separates it from the stuff that I would call an absolute piece of shit, like Venom or Suicide Squad. Because at least this movie has a vision that was sought out, and never at any point in this movie does it feel like, hey, I'm going to flip the switch and do, and it's compromising my vision here. But like throughout this film, like I feel like our director is doing something. It's doing something that we might not agree with, where it's juggling three different tones. But yeah, let's get your thoughts, Brad, because like I feel like we're going to have ourselves quite the conversation about this, because I can't necessarily say I like this movie.
I got questions.
Well, Brad, you cannot ask Andre.
I got so many questions.
He's dead. Andre's dead.
We need to get like a seance going, because I got questions for this man. I agree. There's three different films going on in this one film. Like you said, there's the drama between. Go away, Stacey. Go away, Stacey. So there's drama in the first act, which, you know, was what I was thinking Possession was, like this dude overly possessed. The second part to me was like a sci-fi horror kind of thing going on with the tentacle monster. Mm-hmm. And then the third one, the very ending, was like an action flick. It's like, ram the police car. And the dude's like, all right.
You ever get jumped by the chefs, bro?
I don't know what is going on. The direction in this to his actors and actresses was basically overact everything. And we've seen this before. I've just never seen it done this poorly. Like, what was the point of having the dude rocking that rocking chair all the way until his head almost hits the fucking floor? I don't understand.
Yeah.
I don't understand why you have the one dude who's just making these manic movements as he's like, I fucked your wife.
The guy who, yeah.
Like, I don't get it.
Dude, that had to be the most, like, there's a lot of ridiculous stuff in this movie.
That had to be the most ridiculous.
That guy is the most ridiculous. Like, bro, what was that?
Heinrich? Yeah, Heinrich. Like, what was Heinrich on? Like, and then like Sam Neill is Mark going, yes, I know Heinrich is so much better than me. Like, all the time we talk about Heinrich, and you're like, what the fuck? He still lives with his mother. Get out of here.
Oh my god, man.
Which is nothing wrong. It's just Heinrich was like 80. So, I don't know, bro. This movie didn't do it for me. This movie, way too much overacting. Way the plot is all over the place. It's ugly. I didn't get it. You know.
Yeah. So Andre watched. Andre, what's it called? Okay, hold on. Before I read, is it the correct one? Oh, never mind. There's another. So the one who, the Palme d'Or who won that year was not this Andre. Was a different Andre. Same nationality and everything, though.
That's a better different story than this movie, Aiden.
I got charged with this one. I mean, I think I can make a pretty interesting movie about that, Aiden. Yeah. Yeah. But
hopefully no tentacle monster. Yeah, what was the point of having hentai in this?
Like I said, Brad, I've seen like other movies that kind of resort to this kind of stuff. There was like, oh, it's better in this movie. Like, it does it more interesting because it has like a clear cut of like a certain direction going throughout the whole movie that kind of follows from its first, its second, and third act. Bro.
I think you're right. I'm just going to ignore that the whole time. I think you're right. Malignant is a good kind of, since it just came out, this is a good kind of, like, and Malignant was kind of all over the place, and it was overacted, and if it wasn't for those last 30 minutes, I wouldn't give it the time of day. This one, there was no, like, why at the end did the small child dive headfirst into the bathtub to drown himself?
I don't know. I can't necessarily say.
I have so many questions. And there are no answers, and this man is dead and probably gave no answers.
Yeah. But, like, so, like, there's a lot of things that kind of, like, were putting me off at first, and I understand why they were putting me off. I get it. I think that's what he was going for the whole time. The very odd camera work, very, very nauseating.
I did have a question. Why did the dude have to slap the woman, like, 20, 30 fucking times and then follow her and slap her some more?
Because in Cold War Poland, apparently that's what we do, Griff.
Why aren't you happy in our marriage? Like, dude, calm the fuck down.
I did not take your child. So you should have reviewed the happening with all, even the wind agrees. Bro, I don't know what's going on, y'all. Like, it's never this bad, dude. It's never this bad.
That's because you're used to me being in the concrete bunker downstairs. Yeah. And now I'm in the upstairs where you can hear everything.
But Brad, you did have some like really interesting stuff that you brought up that I noticed.
On Twitter or here?
Well, no, that you were telling me that I noticed in the movie.
She
does Twitter. Not change out of that dress.
No, she's at in least, the same blue dress.
I want to say like 3 or 4 nights in this movie.
Yeah,
she wears the same dress for three consecutive days. You can tell because there's stains on the dress still, and it's still like it looks bad, bro. It looks bad. But what's it called?
And Sam then the Neill, the subway scene was just, that was different.
Well, you see, the subway. I want to say the subway scene. The subway scene was interesting. If we would have gotten less of the. And more of the body horror.
And you know, the subway scene was actually not the worst part of this movie. It was probably one of the better parts of this movie, if I'm going to be honest. It was still ridiculous and overacted and over-exaggerated, but it was probably one of the better parts of this movie.
Yeah. I mean, I've just seen stuff like that done better in other movies where it just looks a little more, you know, interesting and more... Just better.
I'm trying to see what I sent you. Here, this movie is all about becoming a cuck.
Pretty much, because like our protagonist Sam Neill never actually like goes over to this guy and tells him to actually stop fucking his wife.
Well, he tries, but then the dude like dance beats him up.
Oh yeah. Which by the way, holy shit, bro. That man dance beat his ass, bro.
Yeah, like he was overly flexible beating that dude's ass.
Like I'm not even gonna lie, bro. Like, there's a lot of things that I've seen in these movies, but I have never seen a man dance to beat another man's ass.
Yeah, like literally danced and beat his ass. Okay, I got Fridge looking like Jeffrey Dahmer's. I got best elementary school teacher ever, like literally like watch that kid and basically adopt him at the end and also slept with you.
Yeah. So
also the stalker scene where he hires the private investigator and the dude is just fucking running after.
Terrible PI, dude. Oh my god.
And then he just goes into the house and is like, I'm checking your windows, even though I've ran after you for the past 30 minutes.
Damn, bro. You want look at this, what I found here. So this is him talking about the filming of the scene in the subway. There were 2 takes. The scene was filmed at 5 in the morning when the subway was closed. I knew it was worth a lot of effort for Ajani, both emotionally and physically, because it was cold there. It was unthinkable to repeat this scene endlessly. Most of what's left on the screen is the first take. The second take was made as a safety net, as is customary when shooting difficult scenes. For example, in case the laboratory spoils the material. Oh my god.
Oh, did you get my my turkey cutter reference? What the fuck is that? So she's just over there cutting and she's like, fuck it.
This movie's filled with a lot of blood, shouting, crying, and what's it called? And blood. Like, there's a lot of, like, it's wild how much blood. But also, like, this is, when you think about this, Brad, it's nuts that this was made when Berlin was still separated. Like, the fact that they still had an industry to produce movies at the time.
Like this one?
Yeah. But,
I have a question for you. What was the whole point of Marge?
Who's Marge?
Yeah, the Margie or whatever fucking name was. She was in the cast.
Oh, are you talking about the lady who, what's it called, got slit? What's it called? When he's coming back to the to see his wife?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah? I have no fucking clue.
I mean, that was the crotch shot I was talking to you about. The one where it just starts at the crotch and just moves over.
Yeah. But, like, so I feel like I'm going too much into shit I don't like. But to at least ease your minds with things I like. I like our lighting here. I think it's really naturalistic, of course. What's it called? And it looks, like, ugly. And I think it needs to look ugly for this type of movie. I like the special effects, like the way that, like, the what's it called, the tentacle monster looks, and just how like all the blood and stuff, and like we had some pretty good special effects in here, which I'm not gonna lie, what's it called, they're not like John Carpenter level special effects, you know, like the thing, but
I don't think John Carpenter ever had anyone like drowning in a toilet.
Yeah, but I like the special effects, and I think they look pretty. I think they look for prosthetic work. I think it looks pretty good. I think it looked pretty good.
I do say there is some dialogue that I like merely for the fact that it made me laugh.
Well, because, like, you know what the thing I hate the most about this movie, Brad? Is that there's moments when you feel like the movie's about to, like, change, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because there's a beautiful monologue from this actress that I love in this movie. And then the next couple of scenes just absolutely shit on that.
Just shit on it. You thought this was going to be a good movie, yeah. Starting now, but no.
Yeah.
I love some like this one. You want me to break down the bloody door? You don't have to. It's open. At that point, I'm like, I know what movie I'm in.
Yeah.
It's a not very good one, but I'm gonna laugh at some of the shit.
Yeah. Oh God, but Brad always asks, like, what do I make him watch? Well, psychosexual films, bro.
I want to know what made you look at this and go, like, oh, this looks good.
Because I read, like, divorce, and I was like, interesting. I was like, so a horror movie that follows divorce.
Which, you know, at the very beginning, like, even though there was very overact and way too much drama in my eyes, I think if he would have kept with that, and kind of brought that throughout the movie, it would have turned out okay.
Yeah.
But then he just goes off the rails.
Yeah.
To some different land. Like at the end, like it turns into an action war movie. I don't fucking know.
Yeah, Brad, you want me to read some of these quotes here from like critics and stuff?
I was gonna say, if you look at the ratings on this movie gets high praise.
Yeah. So, like, some like, scholars and critics said, like, one of the most enigmatic and uncompromising horror movies in the history of cinema. Zulofsky takes his film too seriously, but it's fun all the same. He goes mad with his swooping camera, has everything in shot painted in blue, and encourages his stars to attack their roles with a kind of stylized hysteria rare outside Japanese theater.
So the budget was $2.4 million. Did they pay off everybody else for this movie?
I don't fucking know. There are plenty of movies which seem to have been made by madmen. Possession may be the only film in existence which is itself mad, unpredictable, and horrific. its moments of terrifying lucidity only serving to highlight the staggering derangement at its core. Extreme but essential viewing. Oh, man.
I mean, this was 1981.
Yeah.
Granted, like, I don't know the 70s, but I feel like not, like, other than Scorsese and maybe a few others, cinema wasn't all that going well, especially in horror.
I mean, the next year, the Thing, John Carpenter's The Thing.
That's true. Out. That was the next year, though. Like, yeah. And that was the only thing I could think of for that tentacle monster. I'm like, I sat there. I'm like, I'd much rather be watching The Thing right now.
I could have fucking, I really could have fucking chosen a David Cronenberg movie. Like, we could have sat down and watched Videodrome for the first time.
I would have rather watched Eraserhead again.
Bro, I watched Raw. Raw is so good, bro. Like, I really could have chose Raw to watch, Brad. Possessor.
Look, we can't choose all good ones all the time. I'm proof fact. I chose a whole month of bad ones. I don't know what to tell you.
Well,
at least we got like us in the first one.
Yeah. Well, what's it called? We still have ways to go, but Brad, I'm gonna go ahead and give.
Do you want to give a score, or do you want to read some Letterboxd first?
Sure. Let's go to Letterboxd.
All right. Do you want 5-star, 1-star? What do you want?
Let's go to the 5s, and then we'll get a 1 in there.
All right. Okay, here's... Oh, that one's way too fucking long. Fuck this. First time... So 5 stars. First time around, you really just have to revel in the insanity. But watching it again, I just couldn't get over how phenomenal every performance in here.
I've seen Sam Neill do better.
Great early Sam Neill work. You're watching a divorce happen for 2 hours with some great fantastical elements. Let's see. WTF, amazing. This is it. This is my favorite horror movie. The subway scene. Now that's what you call poetic cinema. Let's see. Divorce lawyers hate this one trick. This film was amazing, so radically true to its own vision, no less mesmerizing or powerful for it. Instantly skyrocketed to the top of my list of movies I will nag everyone I know to watch. And all your friends hate you. Heimlich maneuver. When you dislodge a piece of food from someone's throat. Heinrich maneuver. When you pipe down a guy's wife so good she divorces her husband and becomes French Joker.
I actually really like that movie.
I'm leaving off that. Okay, let's go.
Right, let's go to a 1.
Let's go to a good one. So one half. No, that's too, why people put books in this shit. This is me saying this. Okay. I truly do not believe I have ever witnessed a film where I was less sure what the filmmakers were trying to say. There is a level of enjoyment one can derive from it, the way people enjoy The Room. And I had a grand time watching it with a group of friends over some beverages. But this film feels like several pieces jammed together with no rhyme or reason. The editing jump cuts are fake. The plot is nonsensical. The horror is minimal. The performances are directed to be way over the top. Thematic content is lacking. The cinematography is rough. Characters come into and out of the plot late without any setup. What was the point of all this? To be avant-garde? To shock? To be a divorce metaphor? Who cares when the film is hackneyed, self-serious nonsense like this? A colossal failure at every level.
Man, I really could have just chosen a fucking Cronenberg movie. We have so much shit that we could have watched from fucking Cronenberg. All right, man. Brad, I'm going to go ahead and give Possession a nice, good old 4 out of 10. And the only reason I don't go lower is because I'm really starting to get into, like, Suicide Squad 2016 and in Venom levels. Because, yeah, I don't want to ever get there.
I'm going to give this a movie a 3 out of 10.
All right, Brad. All right. Well, thank you all so much. And it seems that Luis already chose his movie that he's going to want us to do. So looks like we're going to be
doing Harry Goblet Potter, the third one. The
Goblet of Fire. Brett, Luis, are you sure you do not want to do the Demon Slayer movie? Like, I know how much you like that movie. Well, look, either way, we want to thank you all so much for being here. And, of course, we'll go ahead and, once again, thank you all as well. Of course, thank you to our Patreon supporters, our associate producer, Sarah, and our executive producer, Shane.
Shane. We're gonna follow our friend Shane at twitch.tv/XSRK or on Twitter at XSRK_. Go buy something from the Suppy God at thriftedio.com at some point, or go to a store.
Yeah. If you're in the Illinois area, stop by Prison City Vintage. And of course, we want to thank our writers. Luis is one of them, for some unknown, ungodly known reason right now. I think most importantly, I think Luis would want me to plug his Instagram, because that's right now where he is putting put out a casting call. So y'all, please go follow Luis on Luigi on IG. He is looking for a Latino young adult from age 20 to 23 for a paid shoot this weekend on the 15th. He's going to be shooting his next short film, so he's looking for somebody. So go. The details are all on his Instagram. So Luigi on IG. There you go, Luis. I got you, buddy. And of course, our other writer, Tony.
Hey, Tony.
Avriel Nerdy Dad on Twitter. And
that's my Twitch, buddy.
That's your TikTok buddy, right?
TikTok.
I still can't believe he doesn't actually have a username on fucking what's it called? On TikTok, it's just user numbers.
Tony don't give no fucks. He's just there for the videos.
I know, but like, at least have a fucking name. Because I thought it was a bot at first, and I was like, oh no, it's actually my fucking cousin.
Yo, this is your cousin too.
Yeah. Next week, we're going to talk about Kevin Smith's Tusk.
Oh God. Tomorrow, I already know this is gonna be bad. That's why I chose it.
Tomorrow, you can catch me on the luckiest. Well, hold on. Sorry, I'm talking like that's going to be live. Tomorrow, there's no commentary, y'all. I'm going to be on the Luckiest Peach podcast to record something. So I'm going to be over there. And Wednesday, we will be doing our Patreon commentary this month. We're going to be doing Hollywood Land. So that's for anybody at the $1 tier or above. So make sure you guys go in and check out the Patreon and get on there if you want to go ahead and do this with us. And then on Thursday, we are still talking right now about what might have to go down on Thursday. So without further ado, it's been a really fun time. And as always, you guys can check us out here or anywhere you listen to podcasts or watch podcasts on YouTube. Brad, sit them out.
All right, Rome. Thank you for being host as always. Thank you to all our listeners out there, all our Patreon supporters. We appreciate each and every one of you. Thank you to all those who joined us in chat today. Love you guys. And to end this episode, I'll let the wind take us out. Young Yoda out.
Like Kansas said, dust in the wind.